We are finishing up our series on who we are as a congregation, our vision and values. So we've spent our last 8 weeks or so talking about just the different things that God has called us to be and who we are to be in this community. And what I want to talk about today is this idea of being compassionate and sharing our faith with people. And before we get into the whys and hows of that, I want to talk about why we shouldn't do that. You see, sometimes what happens is we think, I need to share my faith, I need to bring people to church so my congregation doesn't die, so I can keep having this congregation and this fellowship which I really care about. I remember I was back at my last call, my last congregation, and I had been there 10 years or so at that point, and loved the place, great people, loved who I was working with, but really felt like I had done everything I could do there. And I was like, okay, it's time to move on. And so I was having conversations with different congregations. And I remember there was two congregations in particular where I'd be on the Zoom call with them, going through the interview process. And it was very clear that it's like, we want you to come here so that you can bring in new people so our congregation won't die. And it wasn't so we can reach people. It was so our congregation won't die. And I'm like, I'm not your guy. I'm not what you're looking for. Because the thing is we're not about preserving a particular institution or about preserving a particular fellowship. We're about sharing who Jesus is. Let's walk through this. If you'd put up that first slide, please. This is what we just read. This is Matthew 28. This is what's commonly known as the Great Commission. This is the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. And what has happened is Jesus has died on the cross, raised to new life, and then he spends 40 days with the disciples, teaching, preaching, doing miracles, everything else. And then he says, I'm going to ascend into heaven. And before he does, he gives them these bits of wisdom. This is what he says. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what is he saying? He said, go, make disciples of all nations. And it's make disciples, not recruit people for your particular denomination or congregation. Make disciples. And we're going to break down what that all nation means in a minute, but I want to focus on this for a second. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What we have been talking about for the last 8 weeks is how to be more like Jesus, how to be joy-filled, how to be compassionate, how to be generous, how to reflect that character of Jesus. And what he's saying is take that, I've commanded you to do this, to be more like me, teach others to be more like me. Now think about it. All the problems of this world. You want to fix all the problems of the world? Be more like Jesus. Teach other people to be more like Jesus. That would solve a lot of our problems right there. I mean, I know a lot of us, we watch the news, we read the news, you doom scroll through your phone for the news, and nobody comes out reading the news happier. Okay? I mean, is anybody happier after reading the news? No. Okay? If you want to change this world, be more like Jesus and teach others to be more like Jesus. That's really what it comes down to. And that's what he's commanding us. That's what the root of the Great Commission is. Now, take a look. Let's go back to that first line. Make disciples of all nations. Now, if you go to the Greek, that word all, it means all. Okay, it's very simple. But let's talk about how that works. If you go to that next slide, please. The very beginning of Acts, we get a parallel account. It's basically the same thing, but the author of Acts just puts a little different emphasis on some stuff. And he says, Jesus says in that, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, this is a really great way for us to think about things. Because when Jesus says, Jerusalem, what he's talking about is people like us. disciples are from Jerusalem. They're there. They speak the language. They've got all the cultural references. So reach people like yourself. And that's a great place to start. Because these are the people that you're related to, your friends, your relatives, your coworkers, your neighbors, the people who've got the same framework, the same the people who understand the same culture that you do. And over millennia, this is who Christians do best at reaching, because you've got a common framework, a common language, and you're called to speak to those people. And you're called to speak to those people because God has put them in your life. And I want you to understand that you are called to tell them about Jesus because God has made a difference in your life. That's really the key for this. You're here on Sunday morning because God has made a difference in your life. If he didn't make a difference in your life, you wouldn't be here. Just wouldn't. There's something, a sense of purpose, a sense of crisis that God has gotten you through. Something you've been healed of, an addiction you've struggled through. That God has worked through that in your life, and that's why you're here. And the most compassionate thing you can do is to share that with the people around you. Not out of anger or anything else, but because this is something God has done for you. All right. Now, Jesus also says Jerusalem, which is the people around us. Think Washington, Ozaukee, Waukesha County. But then Judea. These are people like us who are farther away. So think of people across America like us. And we want to support that too. There was a Lutheran church plant in South Dakota, which we'd been supporting for a couple of years. And we need more churches in this country. We need more people to reach out and bring more people to Jesus. And so we had been supporting this plant in South Dakota. I happened to run into the pastor there in the national gathering last week. And she's like, yeah, thank you for your support. We're doing great. And I'm like, awesome. We want to continue to do that, continue to do more of those. Now, when Jesus says Samaria, what he's talking about people close to us but not like us. Because the temptation is to say, well, they're not like us. We can't speak to them. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Now, in those days, Jews and Samaritans did not get along at all, okay? I know you all don't like people from Chicago, but that's nothing compared to the Samaritans. And I was surprised by how much all these Wisconsinites did not like Chicagoans, but nothing compared to this, okay? But what Jesus is saying here is those people who are a little different than you, have a little different socioeconomic place, a little different culture, you're called to reach them too. And we have this relationship with Serenity Inn in Milwaukee, which I love, okay? If you're not familiar with it, it is a halfway house, it's a rehabilitation place in Milwaukee, guys recovering from their various addictions, and we support that. And here's what I really love about it. It's not just sending money. It's going down and eating with those guys on a monthly basis. Excuse me. And I love that we send people down, we sit down across a table, and we tell stories. And it's just so neat to be able to do that because it helps us witness, they reinforce our faith. And this is part of what we're called to do. You don't get to pass on that ministering and being compassionate because people are a little different. It's God calls us to reach all of them. And lastly, it says there, Jesus says, to the ends of the earth. And that's an important thing for us because we got to go everywhere. We have a wonderful relationship with people in Tanzania. We've sent people over there last year. It is a great place to do ministry. The coffee we have here is run through those organizations. So when you have an extra cup of coffee today, that blesses the coffee farmers in Tanzania. And that's great. But also we do Operation Christmas Child, which is this great way to bless kids across the world. Every year we pack thousands of shoeboxes, and in there's small toys, combs, educational stuff, but most of all, information about Jesus. And just that chance to say, this is who Jesus is, and you are loved by Jesus. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that we reach out to the ends of the earth. Because somewhere along the way, your ancestors were at the ends of the earth. I know we've got a lot of Scandinavian and German names, but believe it or not, Jesus did not speak German. Okay? Somewhere along the way, your ancestors were, you know, some missionary, somebody came and said, you know what, these heathens need Jesus too. Think about it. Just remember that. So there's one other piece, actually two other pieces that I want to cover. And there was something as we put this mission and values together that was really important to me. If you go to that next slide, Psalm 100 has this great line. The Lord is good and his steadfast love endures and his faithfulness to all generations. And again, that word all means all. And it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in our generation, our peace, our culture. But this is meant for everybody. There was an experiment that the American church did in the 70s and 80s to try and create one-generation churches. You know how many of those you see around today? Zero, okay? We learned from that experiment. We learned don't do that. The idea of honing in on a particular generation, a particular set of cultural questions, a particular style of music, it just doesn't work because that dies out really fast. There's no breadth, there's no depth to that. And what we are called to do is to reach every generation. Do you know why there are so many Bible translations? It is not because the Bible keeps changing. It's because the English language changes. Right? I am reminded by the teenagers in my house and others too that I do not speak like a teenager. The English language has evolved. I also do not speak like my parents or my grandparents. And it is the same thing with Bible translations. We retranslate it every 20 years, not because the underlying Greek and Hebrew have changed, but because we use English differently. It just changes. And so we're called to continually adapt because people now are asking different questions than they were asking 20 or 40 years ago. It's not those questions are better or worse, they are just different. We struggle with different issues. We have different cultural questions. We have different conversations. And so what's important for us is to remember that and to speak to each of those. And I want to point out two things. First of all, when we have kids up in front reading or helping with communion, and trust me, for whatever reason, we get a lot of help from the kids for communion. They're not up here to look cute. They are up here because they are serving. We're not up here to pat them on the head, but we're up here to say, you're doing a good job, and you're being part of the kingdom the same as anybody else. Now, I have a different perspective or a broader perspective than most of us simply by virtue of my position, and I get the full range. Last Monday, I was helping with the First Communion class. We had seven kids in there, and they're second, third graders, adorable little munchkins, and it was so much fun because there was two boys in that class that I was like, okay, who wants to read out of the Gospel of Matthew? And they're both like, yes, let me read that. And the enthusiasm was just off the chart. The other kids in that class were like, I'm good, I don't need to read. They can read for me. But it was still a really fun class, and just seeing the excitement and interest in that. And at the other end of the spectrum, we have people like Don Schlichter. And if you knew Don, Don was a great guy. He passed away recently. We did a service yesterday. Sweet, funny, thoughtful guy who had been around, seems like forever. And he was here, and we did a service yesterday. And the choir was here to sing as part of that. And it was just neat to think about all the generations that we have and know that each one of those generations has a place at the table, has a place as part of this. And I want to encourage us to remember that those different generations have different questions, and that doesn't mean they're any less valid, but it's just how God works in each place and time. Now, I have been feeling convicted as we have gone through this series, because there has been a couple of times when I felt like we tell you to do something, but we don't say hi. How? As we got to the read your Bible, I'm like, well, how do we do that? How do we talk about that? And so with sharing our faith, I was realizing we have to talk about that. If you'd put up that last slide, please. There's this really interesting passage in John 9. There's this guy who's blind, and he can't see. Jesus heals him. And because the religious authorities are upset with Jesus, they go to this guy, and they start just messing with him. And they're like, who healed you? Was he the Messiah? Was he a prophet? Was he a sinner? And eventually, this poor guy, he's like, he doesn't know what to say anymore. He says, look, I don't know if he was a sinner or not. All I know is that I was blind, and now I see. And that's a great way to think about evangelism. Often what we do is we get trapped in these things where we feel like we have to get an answer for everything. How do you feel about this? What do you think about this stance of what it says in Deuteronomy? And we just get terrified of all of these things. You're like, what if I don't have the answer? You don't need all the answers, okay? There's nobody who has all the answers. Not this side of heaven, anyway. I know I don't. But what you do have is your story. As I said at the beginning of this, you are here because God has done something in your life. God has given you purpose. God has given you healing. God has worked with you through some crisis in your life. Something has happened. And that's why you're here on a rainy Sunday morning. What you're called to do is share that with the people around you. So when you have those people in your life, whether you're in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the ends of the earth, you can say to them, hey, this has made a difference in my life. This has happened with me. I want to share this with you. When we wrote the mission statement, we said this is part of compassionate service, of making disciples for every generation, because this is the most compassionate thing we can do, is to love the people around us, to care about them, to share who Jesus is. And so what I want you to do this week is pray and say, who are those people in my life? Who are the people around me that I need to share that with? And then pray that the Holy Spirit would fill them. There's that great line we got back in the passage from Acts where it says, where Jesus says, you will have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit works in your life. So let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would give us your wisdom to say the right things at the right time to the right people. And we pray that the Spirit would break open their hearts, help them to have a longing for you, help them to know you and want to understand you better. And we pray, Lord, that we would be most of all have compassion on those around us. From here to the ends of the earth. Amen.